Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome, everyone. It is the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. That face that you see with me, if you're watching on YouTube, is that of Kevin Fishbane. He's nice enough to join me so that we could talk Bears. We are brought to you by Remy Martin, Team Up with Excellence. And Kevin's in his office. I'm in my office. We were talking before we started recording a little bit about DePaul. We will not inundate you with all sorts of DePaul history, although between the two of us, we could do a pretty good DePaul podcast. If that's what we wanted to do, that is not what I want to do. I want to talk to you about the Bears because this is what you do. You cover the Bears for The Athletic and do an incredible job of it. These last 2 weeks with the Bears, how would you describe it?
Well, first off, Lawrence, let's make a goal. When DePaul gets back to the tournament, we'll do a blowout podcast.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm sure someone will have to. I'll be on a drunken bender when that happens. But yes, we should definitely do that podcast.
Webster Ave, like all those Lincoln Park bars. Everyone's gonna be just up in arms that day. Yep. Whenever it comes. Yeah. I think the Bears, it's given you you nod along and you go, that makes sense. This is smart. This is good. This is how you build a team. This is how you spend your money. This is how you spend your cap space. It's funny, Lawrence, I got a text. I'll put him on blast. I got a text from my uncle and he's like, I feel like the Bears are just signing a bunch of guys who are older and not the players they were, or they're overpaying guys. And I said to him, I go, this is what free agency is. The Bears put themselves in this position that they needed five starters on their both lines, and they got five starters for their lines. And if you look at the guys they could have signed or could have traded for, and you compare them, if you just made a big board of all the linemen who were available, and you could maybe hypothesize who you could trade it for, the Bears did just about as well as you could have asked with what they needed. And so I look at it like, Lord's like, let's say, because of where they're at, maybe their ceiling out of 1 to 10 was like a 7. Like the best they could do was a 7 because you shouldn't need five starters. And out of 7, they probably did a 6.
Yep.
Like I think it was good. And I think it's okay to be happy about the moves and excited and just remind yourself when you get skeptical that, like, what else were they going to do? Would you rather have them done nothing? Would you rather, like, I don't know if Will Fries has a great year and Jonah Jackson doesn't, we can have that conversation, I guess. You know, if Joe Tooney just starts to totally, fall apart and Mekhi Becton is crushing it in LA, sure, we can have that conversation then. But for right now, what you know about these players, what the Bears had at their disposal, I just sit there and be like, this makes sense. This totally makes sense. It's how you try to get this team to where they need to go.
I'll get into the players in a little bit, but I feel like when I'm watching Ryan Poles now, I'm watching a rejuvenated Poles. Now, granted, when you go back to the day after Thanksgiving and that press conference, like that's hard, like to move on from your head coach. The end of year press conference, he looked like a beaten man. And now, with this hiring of Ben Johnson and the additions that they've made, there's a spark back. And I think it's good. I'm glad that he is still being aggressive with the chances that he's taking. But it seems like that aggression is more informed now than what it was 6 months ago.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's like Nate Davis didn't work. And there were questions about Nate Davis. So, all right, you know what? Just go out and get a 2-time All-Pro in Joe Tooney instead. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. You know he's going to come in and work and do his job. You know, you, you, you like, I don't blame them at all for trying it out with Tevin Jenkins and hoping that he could become, stay healthy. And it just didn't work. All right. You move on. You know, Jonah Jackson had that kind of freak injury, but otherwise he's been pretty durable. You go get Jonah Jackson. The center position, you decided not to go draft a guy last year. So I think that it's like, it goes back to this idea again, that he had to go make moves to kind of make up for the moves that either didn't work or the ones he didn't make. And GMs do this all the time. I mean, you remember this, Lawrence, like Ryan Pace one year, like Leonard Floyd didn't work. They declined his fifth year option and they signed Robert Quinn. And Trey Burton didn't work. They moved on from Trey Burton. They signed Jimmy Graham. And it was just like this kind of, you're making up for these errors and spending a lot of money on guys who are at the way latter halves of their career. And you could argue that Joe Tooney and Grady Jarrett are a little bit in that category, but sure. I think that they are, it's a little different. But I also come back to this, like, how I feel like every time we talk about Ryan Poles, we also always mention, you know, he was a former offensive lineman and his offensive line moves. Like, I think the Braxton Jones draft pick could turn out to be one of his better picks if Braxton has a good year, assuming he's the starter. We still don't know. I think Darnell Wright's year two was not as good as we hoped, but I'm not giving up on him in the least. But there seemed to be kind of this smartest guy in the room with the way they were handling that position. You know, like signing Lucas Patrick and thinking they got this like secret
this Packers mole
backup who's gonna
Right.
And they were so excited about that signing. And then the Ryan Bates trade last year. Now, injuries impacted those, and I get that. But they're just like, now it's just like, you know what? We have the money. Just go buy these guys. And so to what you're talking about, that aggressiveness, I do feel like you're right. It's just got this extra thing. And I've made, on the Midday Show, I talk a lot about 2018 over the last like month. Because I think the comparisons, they're easy, but I think they're like, they're worth mentioning. Like Ryan Pace in 2018 had gone through years of just doing nothing at wide receiver, and like their wide receiver position was a mess. They were like Mitch Trubisky and Kendall Wright and Dontrell Inman and Marcus Wheaton, right? So Matt Nagy comes in, and what does Ryan Pace do? He goes out and he buys. You know, he pays a ton of money for Allen Robinson. He pays a ton of money for Taylor Gabriel. He trades up for Anthony Miller. He spends a bunch of money on Trey Burton. Like, I have the cap space. Whatever I've been doing the past couple of years has not worked. Let's just get this done. And I think there's a lot of similarities in the way Ryan Poles just like attacked the lines over the past week to say what we've been doing hasn't gotten us to where we want to be. So let's just, we've got the money. And here are the guys we can go get, and let's fix this thing.
Ben Johnson comes in, and I know that initially what's going to happen is the new coach is very different from the old coach. I know this. I'm doing it myself. He is different, though, and in a very refreshing way. I find him to be less scared about who he is and what it is that he wants than Matt Eberflus was. It also feels like to me, Poles and Johnson have a partnership where with Poles and Eberflus, they spoke about partnership, but it still felt like a siloed leadership structure. When you've talked to Ben Johnson, when you've talked to Ryan Poles, what's the sense you get on how they're working together? And is it fair to go, yeah, you can see the influence in free agency that Ben Johnson has already had with Ryan Poles?
I think it's fair, and I think it speaks to that kind of energy you talked about, that Ryan Poles is this kind of renewed vigor and just excitement about this new start what he has. I mean, he landed the guy. And look, Ben Johnson, I think we could all confidently say, is making more money than Ryan Poles, right? It's just like, it's not a secret, obviously, but it's probably a lot more. Like,
yes.
You know, it's just like, and it's an odd dynamic in sports, right? Where the coach makes more than the GM, and the players make more than the coaches. And like, I'm not saying that's wrong. It's just kind of how these things work out. But like Ben Johnson was this power play for the team and for a reason. And I think you have to count on him to find players that match his vision. And it just felt like, yes, as you said, if you know, they always talked about how Ibrahimovic and Poles were in lockstep, but it just, and Ibrahimovic liked scouting. Like, he loved watching tape, and because that was the college coach in him, the recruiter in him. But in the end, like, this was just a guy who just was a coach, and he just wanted to coach. And I think to kind of what you said about Ben Johnson, I think he just has a better grasp on all that comes ahead coach. And have you kind of noticed this, Lawrence, that it's almost like Ben Johnson really wants to dispel this idea of the offensive guru? Like, he just doesn't want to be like, he knows why he got to where he is, obviously the play calling and what the Lions did, but it's like when he's up there talking, it's like, and I think we can say this from that first video they released when he walked into House Hall, like, here's somebody who knows how this has gone over the years at franchises around the league, like, and he knows what the computer science degree that he has and all that stuff. He wants to make sure everybody knows he's a football guy also. And I've gotten that vibe. I don't know if you've seen that. I've kind of gotten that vibe a little bit.
No, you're right. And it's funny because he has to kind of keep reminding people, you know, I was a quarterback. Like, yeah. I have all of the data for all of the data wonks out there. I have those bona fides. But I also played. And that usually gives someone a different level of credibility. And it doesn't matter where he was on the depth chart. You know, you still were a D1 quarterback, right? So that sort of thing, I think, is really interesting. And I agree with you. I think that he has gone out of his way, and I've enjoyed it, of watching him just whoever. Like, he's going on whatever show, whatever podcast that he can find, and he's kind of talking about how all of this works. And I think it's good. And now for him, the big part of this is, how do you make it work with Caleb? And from what I've heard, just hearing him talk about it, I like what I'm hearing on the approach. The approach is not, we're just going to do what we do and he's going to have to pick it up. The approach seems to be, and if you feel differently, let me know. The approach seems to be, things went really bad for him. We have to start at the beginning with him, and we'll start at the beginning and we'll build this offense up to maybe the point where we can throw in a trick play here or there. But they've got to earn that. That's not part of what I'm doing just as I walk in the door.
Yeah, no, I've gotten that sense. And I think that there was kind of a little nervousness, this whole idea of starting over. But I think that we can... I'll go ahead and say Caleb Williams is talented enough physically that starting over, like, shouldn't be hard necessarily. Like, this isn't somebody who needs a lot of mechanical improvements. Like, this isn't somebody that is doing the drop back is wrong, the arm slot is wrong. Like, I don't think that's going to be a challenge. Like, I feel like when Ben Johnson, like, they're going to go through the fundamentals, make sure he's doing everything right. And then it's about finding the plays that work. So yeah, I agree with you. And it's funny, Caleb posted a video on Instagram like a week or two ago where he was doing like a 7-9 step drop under center play action.
Good.
And I saw Tyson Bagent post a very similar one a few days later from his Instagram. And, you know, and you can see like, oh, those are things that Jared Goff did. And this is obviously something that these guys did not have to do very much in the last offense, and they're going to have to do now. And you can see how they could be really good at it, that Caleb could be really good at it. So I think, like, you know, when like with Mitch Trubisky or Justin Fields, when those guys got new coaches, like, you had more questions about them as a quarterback, I think, than you do about Caleb. Like, I still got, like, look, Caleb was not as good as we all hoped he was going to be. Or we all thought he was going to be.
But I also think, like, that those expectations were outsized. And the biggest, yes, the biggest culprit of it wasn't us. It was them. Like, the Bears themselves, to me, were his biggest enemy in some ways. Because it was like, oh, well, we'll just plop him in. And then everything's going to be great. And then you find out that they're not doing stuff in the way that most NFL teams do them. And I would love to have, like, a really honest conversation with Caleb, and maybe you'll get one, but before the year begins, I can't imagine the frustration he must have felt last year. We're just sitting there going, something doesn't feel right, but I'm a rookie, so maybe I don't know that this doesn't feel right, but I'm a quarterback, and I know that what I've done everywhere else has worked differently, and it didn't work last year. It was incredibly frustrating to watch from afar. What was it like for you to watch that up close? We'll get back to the pod in just a minute. Have you been juggling client meetings, managing your website, and keeping up with everyday tasks? There's a lot of stress involved with that, especially when it comes to website security. With Kensta, they take care of the technical stuff so you can focus on what you do best. Whether you're a business owner, web developer, or running a digital agency, Kensta makes managing your website easy and efficient so you can spend your time on what matters most. And thanks to their unlimited free expert-led migrations, Kensta ensures a smooth transition from other hosting providers so you won't experience any downtime. If you're ready to experience Kensta's hosting for yourself, get your first month free when you sign up at Kensta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kensta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit Kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
You know, I fell for some of the, hey, rookie quarterback, brand new offense, brand new playbook against a veteran defense and the same play caller. Like, I admit I fell for some of that stuff in the spring, but then it kept going in training camp. And then one of the problems that is, like, I'll go to training camp and I will tell you what I see. Like, that is, like, I am privileged that I get to be there. And I'm going to tell you some of the things I see. And Like, we didn't see a whole lot of good things. And I feel like, that really frustrated a lot of fans, you know, that like, and I was like, this is just what, but I still did not expect it to be what it was. And you can go back further too, Lawrence, when they remember, like they, I think it was actually Mark Carmen who asked at a press conference, like, is Caleb the starter? Like, this was in like, I don't know if it was a rookie mini camp or day through the draft or something. I remember being like, come on, Carm. Like, do we really need to do this? Like, and they, you know, Flew said, yes, he's a starter. And everybody in Chicago is like, yes, like, that's our guy. Like, the Bears are not going to screw it up, but they've done, it's not a Fields versus Dalton. It's not Mitch being the number three behind Sanchez and Glennon and all this stuff. But you kind of talked to some people around the league. Not everybody thought this, but I did talk to one or two people who were kind of like, you know, in the locker room, in football teams, sometimes you want a guy to have to earn that. And sometimes you want a guy to have to go out and you don't want to have to anoint him, even though we all knew he was going to be the starter. And this isn't like these conversations were not people slighting Caleb at all as like a person or a quarterback. They're just kind of talking in general terms about how to handle rookies, and different people have different feelings. But like, to kind of your point, it almost went both ways, where I think Caleb had a lot of understandable frustration with what they did. And you could also argue like that they could have gone a different route. And even Ryan Poles admitted that they kind of skipped some steps. And I'm so bummed that whoever was I don't know what show that was on, but I don't think we got the follow-up. What were those steps that were skipped?
Uh-huh.
Maybe that'll come up at some point. I don't know if he's going to divulge. I'm guessing he's not. It's a hard spot for a GM like that, because he's not going to want to really just bust toss the head coach and the former head coach and former offensive coordinator months later. They want to move on. I get that. But there were steps that, look, they admitted there were steps that were skipped. And yeah, so to sit there, Lawrence, I talk a lot about the Arizona Cardinals game.
I was there
with people. And I walked out of there with Adam Johns and Mark Potash. We were walking over to dinner in the entertainment district. And I forgot, it might have been Johns who kind of was like, are we sure? Like, are we sure he's it? And Potsy, you know, has gone through a lot of this stuff. He's kind of like, I mean, look at what this, like, how was it this bad? And this is before the Patriots game, right? That was the next week. And I said to them, I go, guys, this is not like the journalistic strategy here. This is not what I learned in college, but I can't do it. I'm in denial. I'm going to go full. I can't do it again. I just can't. I see what you guys are seeing. I hear what you guys are hearing. I probably should be worried, but I'm so don't want to have to do this as a reporter again. I'm just going to just say, nope, this is all the coach's fault, and he's going to be just fine. And I still kind of believe he's going to be just fine. I don't know what that is going to be, but to your kind of overall question about like, what was it like to kind of live through that? We're sitting here like, are you just like, I don't want to do this again. We've done this. We did it with Jay. We did it with Mitch. We did it with Justin. And I mean, and you go farther back in the beat than me too. I mean, you
we did it with Rex. We did it with Kyle.
It's just like, and I'm sitting here being like, this was supposed to be the one that just, everyone can move on. And walking out of that Arizona game, I was like, oh no. I'm not, I can't go there. I'm just not going to go.
I got to tell you. So, you know, look, I cover the team for a long time. I'm a host now, so I don't come out as much as I probably should. And I'm going to work on that. And Arizona is like my second home. So that was an easy thing for me to be like, you know what? I'm going to go. And I remember walking out of that locker room and writing a note for the show the next day and going, this team's broken. Like being in the locker room and being like, this team's broken. And then I was like, okay, you need to check this, because you haven't been in that locker room. You don't know these guys, but I've been in a bunch of locker rooms where the team's broken and I felt it. And I walked out of there and I was like, yeah, they're broken. So then we started talking about the Patriots game and I was like, guys, something's really wrong with this bunch. And then seeing that performance against Patriots game, man, it reinforced. I'm glad that I still have a little bit of instinct left for reading a locker room, because that post-game locker room was amazing. Like, seeing the way that they didn't quite have answers for what had happened. The halftime thing was just, like, how? Like, how? They were running a give-up play. They were totally fine taking 5 yards and kicking a field goal. Yep. And then 53 yards later, he scores a touchdown. Like, it was maddening.
You know, when I was in that locker room, I had my notepad out, and I started to think about the acoustics of a losing locker room. And I started to jot down some notes because I've been in so many. At some point last year, I tabulated my record since I joined the beat. As you know, in my first, and I started with Trestman. Trestman's first year is my, like, I missed all the lovey years. So,
oh man.
Yeah. So I've covered one winning season. And I started to write down, like, you hear the Velcro, you know, of the straps.
You hear the tape.
Of these guys, mm-hmm. The tape, right? You hear guys whispering to each other. You know, you hear pads being thrown, not like out of frustration, just getting tossed aside. And then you just hear this silence. And it just was such that moment in that locker room that you were in too. So what you felt, I mean, that was real. And I started taking all these notes, like, because I'm like, I'm going to have to come back to this at some point. And, you know, obviously it was whatever, it was 4 or 5 weeks later, the Thanksgiving Day thing. And what was interesting, Lawrence, about Thanksgiving was it didn't feel that way. Because that one, they, like, there was such, like, they were stunned. But I think there was, like, a sense of, okay, we're clearly good enough. Like, we're clearly okay.
Something's There's holding some us back. Us. Yes.
Right.
And now, yeah, and so, now we all know what it is, and we can all identify it. And now I'm gonna say something. You know, I'm Jalen Johnson. Right. I'm gonna say something about all of this.
And I remember actually another peek behind the curtain of this, like, that morning, Thanksgiving morning, I started to kind of almost pre-write a story. Because I thought they were gonna get boat raced in Detroit. Like, on the short rest, short week, coming off that just heartbreaking loss, right? It was coming off Green Bay in Minnesota.
Yep.
So I was like, this is bad. Like, this is going to be awful. And I know what, and I've been in that Detroit locker room so many times. I've covered, I think, 2 wins in Detroit in my career. Mm. Think about that.
Mm.
2 wins. It was back-to-back Thanksgiving wins, 2018, 2019. Oh, you know what? No, 2021, they won a couple days after that patch.com report.
Yes.
That came out.
That's right.
That took over the city. Yeah. So, I didn't get to go in the, that was, you couldn't go in the locker room 2021. So I've only been in a winning locker room like 2 times. So I know that locker room really well. I know what it feels and sounds like. So I started to write like my story before the game even started. Cause I'm thinking, like, I know what this is probably going to happen. And in the end, it didn't. I scrapped that completely and had a totally different story. But that was it was the strangest year. And you know what? To be honest with you, Lawrence, it was demoralizing as like a reporter, which you never want to say, because, like, you know how this goes. Like, when you step into this arena here, like, you know, you're not a fan. You're covering the team. You're rooting for good stories and stuff. Well, when they came home from London, I had a list of stories I was really excited to pursue. I want to sit down with this guy. I want to sit down with this guy. I want to talk to these 7 guys about this specific thing. Here, you want to know one that never saw – none of them saw the light of day, obviously. But they were recovering fumbles at a ridiculous rate. And so I asked if I could sit down with Eberflus and talk about, like, the art of the fumble recovery.
Which is a great story and idea.
So 2 days before the Hail Mary, he on a Friday, we go, and he was awesome. And he's like, takes a notepad, and he's boxing me out. And he's showing me these very specific drills that he comes up with. Because I said to him, I go, fumble recoveries are luck. Like, if you go through the numbers, like, there's a lot of luck involved. And he was like, and he goes, no, no, no. And he's showing me all this stuff that he does. And he shows me this drill. And I said, like, oh, where did you learn that drill? And he looks at me, goes, learn it. I came up with that drill. And it was just like, it was awesome. And it was football guy Flus. And it's like, this is great.
That's the best version of him.
Exactly. And like, I just need a couple more fumble recoveries. I'll talk to a few more players about like what it's like being in these drills with him. Is it gonna be like a fun, you know, just a fun story about how football guy flews and these guys are probably like, what are these drills he's making me do? Never
saw the light of day.
So House of L gets to hear about the Fluce fumble recoveries.
We appreciate exclusives.
This was a House of L exclusive. There you go.
Well, thank you for that. One more thing before you go. What else do you think they need to do?
Good question. Because I think you have like these non-premium positions that need to get filled, right? So you got running back. Wide receiver 3 is interesting. Zaccheaus, who they added, I think was a great addition. Like, I've talked to people who, like in Washington, who really, really liked him there. I'm curious to see how that works out, but I feel like you're not done there.
Me neither.
Tight end. You need somebody else at tight end who can catch passes. I think Durham Smythe is solid, but like, I'm very curious what the plan is there. And then you go to the other side of the ball. You need number 3 linebacker. And what is their... What do they think of Jaquan Brisker? Which is a loaded question. I admit that. That is a loaded question because the answer is you have no idea because it could just take one hit. Unfortunately, it's scary where he's at. But he's in the last year of his deal. Kevin Byers, the last year of his deal. That's another position I kind of have circled. So none of those, like all those are intriguing, but none of those are. And then left tackle, I guess, would be the other one. Like, where are you at? Like, where's Braxton Jones's recovery? How good does Ben Johnson feel about him? So in free agency, I still think you could probably fill a couple of those spots. I'm of the belief you want to have 8 defensive linemen that you can run through on game day.
Yep.
Just go look at the Eagles. Just do that. Just get 8 guys that you could just keep rolling through, rotating those guys in. So you need more there. So to me, Lawrence, I'm fascinated by the idea of when they get to draft night, if Ashton Gentry's on the board, what do they do? I'm fascinated by the idea of Tyler Warren is on the board and Ben Johnson thinks that that guy is Brock Bowers 2.0. Just total like hypothetical. What do they do? If Will Campbell slips to them, or Mason, like I think that that's what the nice thing about these moves is. I think they put themselves in position where whoever they take in that spot, you're going to have to sit there for a second and say, all right, well, they have this guy already. So what does that mean for him? Mm-hmm. And you want to be in that spot when you're drafting, right? So I think it's really interesting when you look at those needs, those positions I just kind of listed, and like what flexibility they have in the draft to add at number 10, 39, 41. Look, Lawrence, they could trade up because that's not something I would have ever suggested. But when you fill these needs the way they have, and you have that extra second round pick, and if there is somebody that Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson are infatuated with, like, do you give up 41 to move up 3 spots to take whoever? And I think they have given themselves that flexibility that they did not have 10 days ago. So I think they're in a good spot. I think also all those names I just mentioned, you're going to have a segment of the fan base that's furious, I feel like. There just isn't that many. There aren't that many like sure things in this draft.
Not that there aren't any draft, but you know what I mean.
Like there's some drafts that you can feel really good about some guys. I just don't know if there are enough of those guys in this draft. And even if like, how about Mason Graham? Mason Graham seems to be like the guy with the highest floor. Okay. If they draft Mason Graham, that's a really good player, but you're kind of like, well, where's he get? Like, what's going to happen to Jervon Dexter? You just gave Grady Jarrett all this money. Like what's the game plan here? 2014, when they drafted, they took Kyle Fuller at 14. Now, we know now what a great draft pick that was. Obviously, they would have preferred Aaron Donald. They probably should have traded up for Aaron Donald. But like, but in the moment, you're kind of like, well, they've got Peanut, who, yeah, last year of his deal, but he's still Peanut. And they've got Tim Jennings, who just got a 4-year extension. Kyle Fuller doesn't play the slot. So what do we, and it was kind of like, we can never have enough corners. He was the top guy on the board. And then week two, you know, Charles Tillman has the biceps injury and Kyle Full, and like the rest is history. But I wonder, like, again, it's a good problem to have, right? To be in that situation. So I don't know if they could get to that point where they're drafting a guy and you're like, well, where is he going to go? Or is it going to be the flip where they're going to draft Ashton Jeanty and he's going to be their starting running back? They're going to take Tyler Warren and suddenly you don't know what's going to happen to Cole Kmet. So I'm rambling here, but the nice thing I think is they have so many different options they can go to. They don't have that one position like, oh my gosh, we have to draft X right now.
My scenario that I've been painting for people is trade down and draft Malachi Starks.
Okay.
Because I'm as worried about Jaquan Brisker as anyone. And being that he was on the show for 2 years, it's a little bit more personal. But even from a football standpoint, you've got two safeties that are on one-year deals. This guy can legitimately be a star at that position. He comes from a defense that's built with stars, that is a defense first team. But yeah, I think there's a lot, they've built in a lot of flexibility, and I think that's one of the great things that Ryan Poles has done with this offseason. It's been I don't want to call it redemptive just yet, because I want to see how the draft goes and obviously how the season goes, but it's on that road, and that's a good road to be in. Where can people read the work?
Check it out at The Athletic. I'm sure we'll have my next mock draft is still a couple weeks away.
Okay.
So I get some time between Bears mock drafts.
Good.
Go to The Athletic. I'm on Twitter and Blue Sky. We've got owners meetings in 2 weeks, which will be, you know, Ben Johnson's first owners meetings. And Lawrence, I got to tell you something. You know, we usually get George McCaskey and Kevin Warren at those owners meetings. And I'm very curious to see what the stadium conversations are in 2 weeks. I don't want to open up a brand new podcast here. You can save us for down the line, but just for listeners to think about, I want to put that date in people's minds that it's going to be, I'm not sure what day they're going to talk, but that first week of April, the owners meetings in Florida. I wonder, selfishly, it'd be nice to get some answers.
You wonder if there'll be a date where the shovels are actually in the ground. And
that'd be nice.
And I think that you might. I think that we have made the turn and we are coming down the stretch now. To give a horse racing analogy.
Yes. And I think that stretch is you're heading west.
Uh-huh. That's why I said horse racing. Yes. Sir, as always, I appreciate your time. Kevin Fishbane is great. Check out his work at The Athletic. And stay tuned. You should be following him on socials because he might have something for you soon. So that'll be a good thing when you see it and perhaps hear it. I will talk to you soon, sir. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.